The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Oh, can we rise to our feet? Let's take our declaration quickly so that we can get into the teaching for today. If you're coming for the first time, pick a copy of this. You will see a black box at the bottom. Just that's the declaration we are going to take. Please, it's a declaration. It's not what? It's not a whispiration. Thank you. I'm supposed to declare. Are we ready? All right, let's start. 1, 2, let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I've been filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's a good declaration. And that will be your experience in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please, can you do me a favor? Bless 3 people around you. Just turn around. Say, you will be blessed today. The Lord will speak to you. Tell the person healing is your portion. Divine health. Release of abundance. Breakthrough of all sorts in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. Let's open our Bibles today to continue learning how to build up our faith. And we are going to take, I just like to do a bit of reading at the beginning. In fact, from next week, we are going to change the pattern of doing things. We'll be having a proper Bible reading. Somebody will come and read it. It's very good. All right. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. Let's start from Psalm 118. I'm going to read from verse 15. And I'll stop somewhere along the line. Let me just see where I'll stop. Where I'm going actually is 19 to 21. I just like to take things a bit from before that point. It said, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. David said, I will not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. In verse 19, he says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. He said, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Let me just read verse 19 again. He said, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. That's verse 20. The righteous will enter through it. Let's just, because we are talking about this, quickly read what the Lord Jesus said about that in Matthew chapter 7. The book of Matthew chapter 7. He said from verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now, please notice that this is just what we read from that book of Proverbs chapter 118. The book of Psalms 118 just a minute ago. That is, there are different ways to do things in life. There are different methods for getting results. One of them is called the wide gate. Another one is called the narrow gate. One is called the broad way. And there's another one that is the narrow way. Now, those two, they go together. You know, the narrow gate and the narrow way. And the narrow one is called the gate of righteousness. The narrow gate is the gate of righteousness. Please bear that in mind. All right? Now, there's another thing another scripture I want us to read. What Paul wrote to Timothy. These are just the introductory scriptures. We'll now go into the teaching. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, for time's sake, I'm just going to pick this from the middle, and it will include the very verse I'm looking for. Let's start from verse 14. We'll read to verse 17. He said, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, that is, as opposed to evil men and impostors who are progressing from the bad things to the worst ones, who are being deceived and are deceiving others. Unlike them," he said, "you continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings or the scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Please follow that. He said, the scriptures, the holy writings, give the wisdom that produces salvation. He said, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training or instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture is inspired. It produces wisdom so as to bring forth salvation in our lives. Now, please bear these things in mind. Now, these are the scriptures we are going to use to start this. I have a few other ones which I will refer to along the line. For example, Paul referred to faith, which works by love. We'll go over the story of Ruth again. We can't learn enough. Please, let me just say something. As we are teaching, we'll refer to some other messages. A good student will go to those references. We have a series titled The Gospel According to Ruth. I'll pick for a few minutes what I taught there for about 3 or 4 meetings. I'll put them together in a few minutes. Okay? And so it would be better if you can go to that series, The Gospel According to Ruth, and listen to the whole series. All of these things are available on our website, and they are available for free access. Now, what are we talking about? Remember, it's a continuation of how to build up your faith. You need faith, so tell your neighbor you need it. Tell your neighbor you need it. Tell somebody else you do. You need your faith to be intact. You need your faith to be big. Say, without faith. Say it again to that fellow. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't get results in this life. Without faith, you won't make it to heaven. That's not a joke. Tell your neighbor, without faith, the plan of God for your descendants will not be fulfilled. Turn to somebody else. Say, oh boy, oh girl. I mean, this is your senior, warn yourself. There's somebody older than you, oh boy. How can they say, oh sir? The Lord is good. So tell the person, what else can you do? How else will you get your results? Say, you need your faith intact. You need it built up. Now tell the person one more thing. It can't remain on the same level. The faith of today must be stronger and greater than that of yesterday. Listen, that's the will of God. That is the will of God. Life is a battle of faith. That is, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Many people are fighting the good fight of congregation number. Many people are fighting the good fight, you know, the good fight of more money. People will make a lot of people make decisions. Change location, change profession, change relationships, just to earn more money. Few ever do it to boost their faith. People will save up money. The man will take his wife and his children and go on holiday. Favorite spot these days, Dubai. And they think it's reasonable. And you're talking a few millions down. A man, a wife, 3 children. Even if Emirates is doing promo. And they give you 300,000 naira per person. That's 1.5 million on ticket alone. Then you pay for accommodation. Then you shop. How can you go to Dubai and not shop? The only thing they do in Dubai is shop. Make a long story short, you budget like 2.53 million naira to give the family a holiday. And when you come back, you feel reasonable, you know? You feel good telling people about it. But if people hear that there's a seminar or one particular prophet is coming to town, it requires you to carry your wife, your children, and go to Abuja. Everything costs a million and you'll be there for 1 week. You know, for most Christians, it's ridiculous. Bring me the tape. That's the good ones, though. Those who are interested, bring me the messages. It does not cross our minds that we can actually take that 1 million naira if we could afford it, go there. You say, I would have gone. I don't know anybody in Abuja. Who do you know in Dubai? The Dubai you went, who do you know there? You don't know anybody in Dubai you went? You don't know anybody in London you went for your holiday? Kenya, oh, we don't know anybody apart from the lions and the hyenas. But we go. Know the truth? Most of us don't take spiritual things seriously. We don't. Our sense of value is poor. Very, very poor. And we think we have faith because we can recite scriptures. I've been saying it again and again. Knowledge and faith are two different things. Faith can feed on knowledge. I'm not saying it doesn't. But the fact that your head is full of knowledge does not mean you have faith. That's why Jesus said, you said the scriptures. The Pharisees were good at it. The scribes lived on the scriptures. They lived on the scriptures. So much did they know it, all right, that when the wise men came, they called them and said, where would the king that we're expecting be born? They opened the Bible and showed them to be in Bethlehem. Head full of knowledge. Yet when they met the king, they crucified him. So the fact that your head is full of knowledge does not mean your faith is big. Let's bear that in mind. One of the things that boosts our faith is when we always show that sense of value. Because faith, see, the truth is at the end of the day, is a gift of God. The Bible talks about faith by the Spirit. It was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Faith by the Spirit. God can impart faith into you or withdraw faith from you. He withdrew faith from Pharaoh, from the whole of Israel. He said, prevent them from understanding. Isaiah prophesied that they became dull in their hearts. God can pump faith into you. It doesn't do it arbitrarily. That's what I want to bring out. It doesn't just do it arbitrarily. It's not a game of chance. One major reason he pumps faith into your heart is when you show him it matters to you. I told you many years ago, when my salary in a month effectively was 700 naira, I bought a Bible that was between 250 and 300. I'm not very sure. I think 270 is there about. Anyway, between 250 and 300. Let me not give wrong values. When my colleague heard, he saw me that day rejoicing. He said, oh boy, you are looking like you won the jackpot. What happened? I said, they just delivered my Bible. He said, oh, they delivered your Bible. That's why you're dancing like this. He said, by the way, how much did you buy it? I think I told him, I think it was 270. I'm not very sure. But let's just take 250 to make it easy. Now, bear it in mind, I was salary in a whole month. Officially, it was about 900, but we were getting like 700. For certain reasons, they were making some mistakes in some things. So at that time, we were receiving 700 naira a month. And I told somebody, I paid 250 naira thereabout for my Bible. You don't blame him when he said, let me be honest with you, my guy. He said, I hope you won't be offended. I think you've gone mad. He said it in Pidgin. He said, black, he said, don't they crazy. You don't blame him. I mean, think about it. That's 1/3 of your monthly earning to buy one book. And he couldn't understand. Normal Bibles were 15 naira. You could get a good Bible, complete, 10 naira those days. So, you spend 1/3 of your monthly income. The guy thought I was mental. So you don't blame the man for saying that. But what I'm trying to bring out is what Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days. He said, your sense of value determines the flow of virtue to you. Many times we relocate from one country to another. Why? We want our income to improve. We want our standard of living to improve. I'm looking forward to the day when Christians will relocate, because this place, I will hear good word there. I will have the freedom to learn. I will have the freedom to worship. This is the interesting part. When white people started going to the United States, we were looking for freedom to worship. That's what they were looking for, a lot of them. They were tired of the state telling them what to do. That's why in their constitution it was written, there must be a separation between church and state. You know, law is very fun. You can twist it anyhow. Now, letters. The spirit with which they wrote. Now, Americans are trying to say, no, you cannot legislate. That is, the state cannot support Christianity. No, that's not what they were trying to say. Before, like if you were in England, you had to be, first you were a Catholic, until King Harry quarreled with the Pope for not allowing him marry the woman he wanted to marry. So he declared the church in England an independent church away from the Catholic Church. Automatically, every citizen stopped being a Catholic. If you were, you were persecuted. Everybody had to follow what the state said. You're Christian. If the state religion says you baptize infants, you can't preach that you don't. If the state religion says you don't, if you baptize an infant, they send you to prison. Are you getting my point? So a lot of people were persecuted. So they packed their bags, found out there was a new country. So they packed and went there so they could worship freely. So when they were writing their constitution later on, they made it clear. In this country, the government will not tell us how to worship. So they wrote it down. They will not make any law that regulates worship. That's the reason. But now people have now turned it now that you can't pray in schools. That was not the aim. They prayed in schools. They declared days of thanksgiving. Just that you couldn't tell us which church to go and which church not to go to. What I'm trying to say is that I'm looking forward to the day when Christians will actually take their faith so seriously that it will be the first thing when they are considering location. It will be the first thing when they are considering migration. It will be so crucial to them, not what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and with what shall we clothe ourselves. Like I say all the time, my preaching is not about where you go, where you don't go. It's why you are going. Your why must be spiritual. Your why, the reason, must be that which you can present before the Lord, and it shows to him that you trust him and you love him, and is the primary reason why you are doing what you are doing. We need to take our faith more seriously. So we're looking at it. How do we build our faith so that it will be robust? Remember, when Peter lost faith in the presence of Christ Jesus, he began to sink. Many people who are having troubles in life, they become a negative testimony against obedience to God because they began something by faith, but they want to now complete it in the flesh. Do you get my point? They now perish in the wilderness. And when those who don't understand, when they begin to write the stories, they will say, it's dangerous to follow God. No, it's not dangerous to follow the Lord. It's just that if you begin, you must finish. Paul said, having begun in the spirit, how do you want to complete it in the flesh? If you leave Egypt with the power of God working with you, you must follow that power of God into the promised land. Otherwise, you perish in the wilderness. And you will perish by the hand of the Lord. It's so important we understand it. So many people, that's what happens. Listen, the fact that you started something by faith does not mean it will work. Unless you continue by faith. That's what the Bible calls patience. It says, let's be followers of those who through what? Faith and patience. Because if you lose faith along the line, it's as if you never started with faith in the first place. That's why I say, anytime you want to walk with God, first die first. That is the day you make up your mind, you give your life to Jesus Christ, say, I have died. Say, Lord, if you say I should be poor, poverty is my portion. Do you get my point? That is, if you say I shouldn't have any great name, fine. Lose everything in your mind first. Because that's the only thing Satan tries to use to tempt people. It's always the same thing. Loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. So take your eyes away from anything that can take it. From day one, let me say something again. Don't ever look out for the reward of service. I need to say that to Christians again. If you are serving God, never ever put your eyes on the reward. If you do, you'll be discouraged. If you do, you will backslide. If you do, you will walk away from him one day. You must never put your eyes on the reward of for service. Let me say it again. Don't think that if I go to church long enough, God will do this for me. He won't. You will stop going. Once I was, somebody spotted something to me, somebody giving a testimony, how she was sick. I just said, which pastor said? God has to have special mercy on us. There's a special council of mercy meeting in heaven right now for pastors. Otherwise, we'll have trouble. Now, I'm not saying there's really a special council. I'm just wishing. Why am I saying so? Some of the things we do to the congregation of the people of God is evil. Somebody said that when she was sick, she began to pray. And she reminded God of all her services in his house. And they printed it. First, many of those testimonies are lies. I hope you are aware. I'm sorry. Bible says, test all things. I test testimonies very well. People will finish some testimony. When they finish, I say, it didn't happen like that. Say, but you were not there. It doesn't happen, matter. It didn't happen like that. That's all I know. And sometimes we tend to reconstruct things to fit what we have in our minds. And you know the pulpit, you are coming to hear the testimony. As me, I'm taking testimonies here. Now you have to shook Pastor Banky's name inside somewhere. Otherwise, nothing for you again. So that day, even if it doesn't concern me, you have to put my name because I'm the boss here, man. And all my guys know that you climb our pulpit, you don't magnify our daddy bishop. You're in trouble. These are the foolish things we do as believers that make people tell lies. Somebody is going to one particular church. Maybe he heard Kenneth Hagin preach. And what Kenneth Hagin preached was what blessed him or her. But when he come to that church, say, praise the Lord. That morning I first put in Pastor Banky. Then I listened to small Kenneth Hagin. Then Pastor Banky said, is a lie. Just that. You know, it's Pastor Banky's pulpit now. Which, how man go do? Sometimes we so reconstruct. That's why sometimes we tell testimonies that are not true. I read that testimony that day. I said, you told God this one. Well, he probably still healed you. Maybe you said it. But the reason why he healed you is not this reason. Because, you know, God is very kind. You can say 20 things of which 19 are very stupid and very wrong. You say one that is right. He will just use that one as an excuse and bless you. You now go and quote the 20 that you said. He'll be looking like, ha! They say, don't worry. Now small pikin, they worry him, like we say in Nigeria. Listen, if you ever want to serve God, never. Let me just say it to you again today. Don't put your eyes on what you will get. If you do, you are begging for disappointment. Now your type, they backslide. One day a man told me, he saw me carrying, those days I was telling when I was buying my Bibles like that, was my senior at work. Saw me carrying the Bible up and down, you know, stuff carrying Christian books. So I said, this man, you're a Christian? I said, yes. He looked at the things I was carrying, looked at the books. Said he used to be like me, but he has stopped because it wasn't worth it. I looked at him. I said, Chief, that's what we call our seniors in medicine. I said, Chief, what was not worth what? The English is plenty, you know. I said, Chief, what was not worth what? Because I couldn't understand what was not worth it. You are in front of me. You are breathing. You are alive. That alone is worth everything. I said, sir, what was not worth what? It's simple. He felt that doing righteousness is a favor he's doing to God. That's what happens. You are in school, boys are doing all kinds of things. They're enjoying themselves in court, drinking poison on a regular basis. And you didn't participate. And you now feel you are doing it for God. Once somebody told me that he didn't think it was fair for people like Chris Okotie to give their lives to Christ and say, go to heaven. He felt it was cheating. Why? Because Chris Okotie was the original bad boy. He was known for all kinds of fleshly indulgences. He testified about it himself. The man, you know, of course, got involved in all kinds, and he was making a lot of money as a young boy. A young student living in Federal Palace Hotel and going to school UNEC, University of Nigeria, Enugu campus here. And then, after rocking life, you know what they call rocking life? Rocking life well, you know. It was the two-face of his days, the Davido of his days. And then one day, they gave his life to Christ. So somebody said that it's not fair. That some of us, we gave our lives to Christ early. We were denied all those things. Now, we and him will now go to the same heaven. As if he enjoyed the best of both worlds. I told the fellow who was telling me, I said, it's because you call what he was doing enjoyment. It's because you call it enjoyment. A man was drinking poison on a daily basis. Poisoning himself. Poisoning his destiny. Indulging his flesh. Drinking of evil spirits. And at night, he never slept well. You did not know that. The same Chris Okoti later on, we didn't know then, was later on I heard the testimony. That those nights, the greatest desire of his life would be to commit suicide. He was living a high, you know, the top suites in Federal Palace Hotel, and he would open the window, and he would want to jump out and end everything. But foolish young boys and young girls are saying that these are people who are enjoying. They don't realize it. I said, listen, it is not God you are doing a favor when you are living righteously. It is yourself. Speaking of even on the, in the medical level, you are poisoning your own body by iniquity. Madness. That's what is happening. Many people, they discover what is wrong. That they have lived wrongly when it's too late. Many of them start regretting. There's one man I heard, I don't know his name, but was an American, I think basketball, a sports star anyway. Yeah, his reputation was, he made Solomon look like a joker when it came to women. Solomon had not started where this man went to. But you know the truth, at the end of the day, he gave a testimony. Not because he was a Christian, just looking back at life. You know what he said? That his reputation was that he slept with 4,000 women. How he did it, don't ask me. But you know what he said with his own mouth? He said he has discovered that it was vanity. That it would have been better if he slept with one woman 4,000 times. And I said, look, is that not what the Bible told us? Many people, look, there's a book I read very, that is many years ago, more than 25 years ago. Please Love Me. That's the name of the book. If you can find it, I can't remember the name of the author. But it's a testimony, a Christian woman, alright, giving a testimony of how she got converted and all of that. The title of the book was Please Love Me. You see many things people are doing. They are crying for acceptance. That's why I tell young girls, stop following these confused people on Instagram. They are sad. They are unhappy. They wish they could be like you. But you don't know. You don't know. You think they are happy. They are not. They are pretending. That's why if you take them off that their Instagram picture, put them in hot water and bring them out, you won't recognize what they are saying. It's all makeup, fake this, fake that. The only thing they have is skin deep. And they put it in front of your faces. Those who used to be magazines, they say, does anybody still buy magazines anyway? It's not Instagram or Facebook. You think Kim Kardashian is happy? That's why they outdo themselves in nakedness. Listen. It's crave for acceptance. That's why that woman in that book said, please love me. That the things they are doing, we are begging for love. These are girls that their fathers have never heard them close and say, you are beautiful. They've never felt it. So every man that looks at them twice is telling them they are fine. So they can't control themselves anymore. And you see blessed people looking at them with envy. How can you look at people like that with envy? If they give them the opportunity, they will trade places with you. But nobody's giving it to them. Some of these girls were sexually abused by their own parents, by their own father. They don't trust anybody in life. The only thing that gives them purpose, it seems, is walking naked. But you see, young people don't understand. They think these are, they are not stars. They are confused creatures. Looking for anything that will give them a sense of value. One girl I saw the other day, I forgot how I stumbled into her story. And I looked and I said, ha, moron. I said, this girl, what kind of moronic behavior is this one? Said she wanted to, she posed naked. Nigerian posing naked. We don't do such things. For us, it doesn't. On one particular day, she went and posed, she went to a studio and took pictures stark naked and put them on Instagram. You know, when I read her story, I said, this girl, you're mad, though. Then she, of course, it backfired.
You know Nigerians now? They finished her. Yeah. Abused. Sent her into depression. Unfortunately, listen, this is your phone. Don't let it kill you. Let me just tell young girls, no guy, even if he wants to marry you tomorrow, he says you take a picture of yourself and send to him, say no, I will send it tomorrow. After the wedding, only. Because once you hear checking on this thing, you've lost control. You've lost control. Now, so one pastor do now, one part of the world, I won't say whether it's in Okemute's village or Israel's neighborhood, I won't tell you. You went out, you know, when the Bible says, listen, it's good to do what is right. Even if you're alone, if you're in secret, just do what is right. Because you don't know, God is looking. And if God exposes you, the pastor, he stood, you know, naked, took a picture of himself, and sent it to one woman in church. And said, Madam has traveled. This is yours for the weekend. And he was the pastor of the church, of a church where the other woman is a member. Except that she WhatsApp never do delete for all that time. He mistakenly sent it to the church chat group. The church had a chat group. The man just followed into the chat. I mean, even if you folded yourself naked, they will say no mistake. You put them under, my madam don't travel. No, God wanted to expose him. They said, the devil. I said, no, it's not the devil. God has been warning him for a long time. This is your urukuruku. True story, not a joke, true story. By the time he found out, the whole church, he shot himself. Took a gun, shot himself. He killed himself, seriously. I just feel like dropping that. Be careful. Please, just get away from some of those things. Stop making idols of confused creatures. They shouldn't be your stars. There's something David said. He said, the godly ones of this earth, they are my heroes. The godly ones, the saints of God, they are my heroes. I want to follow people on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. Follow those who drop words, nuggets of truth. Nuggets of godliness. They drop it for you on a daily basis. That's how you build your faith. Very important. I don't know why I even got into that. Let's be careful who we follow. Okay, I remember I got into that now. Somebody said to me that time that Chris Okoti was enjoying. I said, wasn't enjoying. You don't know what he was going through. He was confused. He was sad. And if he didn't give his life to Christ, you would have seen the result of it. Probably will have dropped dead one day. Prince, that is the musician Prince, one of the most successful and most, till now, is still considered possibly the most talented musician of all time. Just like Whitney Houston, is still considered the most, you know, having the most beautiful voice ever recorded. Whitney Houston had the voice. Pull it from low, pull it to high. The person who brought her to limelight said he needed to hear her only one time. She was singing in a club. They just called him and said, please, there's one girl you need to hear. He said he heard her once. He knew she was going places. Whitney Houston. That's how good this girl was. You know what killed her? Drug overdose. Whitney Houston's story is a bad story. Church girl. Her voice training was given to her by B.B. Winans. She's a church girl. Oh, you don't know. That voice we are talking about was trained by B.B. Winans. I heard it from her mouth herself. He said, oh, my secret is out. Then somebody lied to her that those in the world are the ones enjoying. Hey, and she met New Edition. What is his name? Bobby Brown. And Bobby Brown said, come on, let me show you life on the other side. And the girl said, no problem. She was 4 years older than him. By the time they met, he had 3 children from 2 women. He was in his early 20s. But she wanted to look at life on the other side. And then they know what happened? She was addicted to drugs. The guy was smoking Igbo from his mother's womb. You! By the time Bobby Brown was done with her, she was dead. And he's still alive. Because God looked at them differently. This is not what I called you for. What she thought was a good life. Before she died, she was broke. I forgot that part of it. The most talented voice, the most beautiful voice on the earth was broke. And they found her dead, I think, in her bathtub with cocaine and all kinds of things in her system. A few years later, her daughter died in exactly the same way. You want to tell me they're enjoying? I like my life like this. I like my life like this. You want to call it enjoyment? This afternoon, to stay awake was a problem for me. So I was trying to get the message that Israel gave me ready. I mistakenly sat on the bed to do it. I was hearing the message with background music. You know, the background music was my own snoring. Honestly, I was alone in the house. Everybody had gone up. My children are not around. My wife went out. She went out. So only me, the dog was outside. So I was in the room. Next, I was just hearing. And I was enjoying the music with somebody rapping in front of me. No, it's my voice I was hearing. And my throat was giving the background music. 30 minutes passed. When I woke up, I said, yeah, that was not music. It was a wrongly placed neck. That's what they call peace of mind. That's what they call enjoyment. That's what they call enjoyment. That's what they call enjoyment. I traveled for the other day for a total of about 10 days. And every day I was missing my wife. Every day my wife was missing me. That's what they call enjoyment. I don't have to hide. That's what they call enjoyment. I get a new device. A new phone, they say, okay, register fingerprint. It'll be four of my fingers and one of my wife's fingers. So anytime she wants to use my device, she swipe her finger to open up. That's what I call enjoyment. That's what I call enjoyment. I can leave my phone and it rings. I say, please check who is calling. Tell the person I'm coming. That's what they call enjoyment. I don't take phone calls. If I take phone calls in the bathroom, my wife knows I'm planning a surprise for her. So I've spoiled the surprise. When you see me hiding to take phone calls, say, ha, my husband is planning a surprise. That's what I call what? Enjoyment. I was telling you about Prince. Exceedingly talented physician, a musician. Exceedingly talented. From the records they have, they can continue releasing albums of Prince for the next 10 years. The music he did, they're still inside there. Those who have worked with him say, the guy is so talented. He'll just sit down and he could play almost anything. Guitar he will play, drum he will play, piano he will play, anything he will play, flute, everything. So only him can compose and produce music. So sometimes he will do some things that are so fantastic, everybody say like, wow, then he will come and erase it. Say it's nonsense. And they're like, oh God, that was the best thing we ever heard. He said, no, it's not good. He will start again. His house was a massive studio. He lived there all alone with his wife. I don't know whether it's his wife or a partner. I don't know who's who these days anyway. Then one day in his own house, he entered the lift and never came out. He was living alone. It took them a while. Where's Prince? Where's Prince? They found him in the lift. He was dead. Why? Overdose of fentanyl. It was from him I knew that he was already dosing fentanyl. I didn't know fentanyl was even a drug of addiction. Last I knew, when we were still students, I used to go to theater as a young doctor. That's when I saw anesthetists give fentanyl to patients who they can't anesthetize them so very deeply because maybe their heart is not strong or something is wrong or they don't want something to relax too much. So they keep the gas a bit light. But see, what if the patient wakes up? You know, you paralyze the patient. He wakes up and you are cutting him. You know, he can't shout for pain, nothing. So you know what they do? They give fentanyl. So when they load the patient with fentanyl heavily, even if he wake up, he won't feel a thing. That's what I need to use fentanyl for. And that way they control, of course, there's a machine there, or their hand controlling your breathing. I never knew fentanyl was used for anything outside there. Until I heard they killed Prince. I said, well, is he an anesthetist? They said, no. It's a drug of abuse. I said, are you serious? That drug is many, many more times more deadly than heroin. Oh, yes, that's why he killed him. You take too much of it, you stop breathing. You won't breathe for 1 hour. And of course, whoever does not breathe for 10 minutes is dead meat anyway. Talking about 1 hour. So he took too much of it while he was alone. He collapsed and he died. And you're telling me he's the one enjoying. Reference I like to give all the time, Michael Jackson. Young people, when we were children, people cut their trousers to look like Michael Jackson. Wear socks like Michael Jackson. Wear sunshades like Michael Jackson. I don't know which school you went to. You didn't learn how to do backsliding? Only one of my friends succeeded in standing on his toes like Michael Jackson. I had only one guy I know that could do the 3-point twist of Michael Jackson. Turn his head, turn his trunk, turn his legs. Pam, pam, pam. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jackson. When a man bleaches himself to that color, he thinks because he's happy, it's because he's dissatisfied with life. When he keeps reconstructing his nose until he can't stay there by himself, something is wrong. I've had this nose for a very long time. No desire to alter it. Like I always say, it's too late now. I already married with it. When I was single, maybe I'll have twisted the nose. But right now, I like the nose the way it is. And then one day they say Michael Jackson could not sleep. Why couldn't he sleep? I don't know. And they hired a doctor at the cost of $200,000 a month to help Michael Jackson sleep. And at the end of a few weeks, Michael Jackson was dead. And you are telling me he's enjoying? No. God is my witness. I don't envy Wizkid, Davido, because I understand what money is. Solomon said we had it, we spent it, only to discover it's what? Vanity. So what are you talking about money? He said, I had money. That is, there was nothing doable that I did not do. That is, if people say that, I want to go to Europe so I can see snow. Solomon said, I went to Europe, I saw snow. Then I came back home, built machines that were sprinkling snow in my palace. I built vineyards. I redirected rivers. What did I not do? And I had wisdom. I knew life inside out. At the end of the day, I realized that everything is what? Vanity. Everything is emptiness. So it's like pursuing after the wind. That's why I would tell you something. Don't change your job simply because somebody's going to pay you more. Find out what exactly you want to go to the next level. What door is God opening for you in the next level? Stop pursuing vanity. Soaring up and down because of material things. It's vanity. I won't say vanity. That's not self-consolation. That's reality. That's reality. That's reality. So if you think it's because of the house you have now, you're not sleeping well, ask yourself, what kind of house did Michael Jackson have? Why couldn't he sleep well? So if you're not sleeping well, it's not in your house. I said one day we're going to my court. That's the day I realized, God, you have to help us. And we saw two men, afternoon around 3 o'clock, under a flatbed bed truck. On the ground, they put a mat under the truck. And we're blowing past and they were fast asleep. So if you're not sleeping well, you get your own problem. It's not the house you're living in. It's not even the noise from your neighbor. Because these guys, they had neighborhood trucks, neighborhood cars. The men were asleep. I looked at them and said, so what is my problem? What is my problem? They were sleeping under the truck. Except you be like little children. Sometimes I look at my children and I say, just me, and especially their mother, that's spoiling these people. Because we're worried that maybe they are not feeling comfortable. I will get to the sitting room like this. They are watching TV. Everywhere is hot. The window is closed. The fan is off. So I ask them, wait, why is the window closed? And they look like, is it closed? Then you look at them. Why is the fan not on? There's a fan. And you see them sitting down, they're relaxed. Some of them who like to cause trouble, maybe the leg will be on the leg of another one. They just sit down, balanced like they're watching TV. Are you not hot? But they actually say, no. And I realize that, they are very comfortable. You look closely, they are sweating, but it doesn't bother them. I said, they'll soon grow up now and start complaining like me. After I have forcefully made their life comfortable, they will not be addicted to the comfort. As I said, we have to be like little children. So that day, my friend said, some people, they enjoyed it. I said, did they enjoy it? People were suffering. They were suffering under the yoke of Satan. Any man who leaves his wife at home and then runs to go and carry a harlot is under a yoke. It's a yoke. Do you understand? Say, I mean, one of my friends, a pastor in this town, called, one day we're gisting. My wife was there, came to our house, telling us, we're just talking stories. Okay, we went out together to hang out together. Telling us stories. You know? About a man who claimed to be a preacher, who went to go and collect power from dark places. Make a long story short. Anytime he goes to operate, you know, there's a car there, your car number is A1225, all those kind of things. When it's done, an urge to carry a harlot will come upon him. And he'll go out and go and collect a prostitute. Supposed to be a preacher. I said, that guy is very foolish. All for what? To build a house? To buy a car? It's the last operation he had in Abuja like that. He came back home with 3 cars. At the end, as he's arriving, he will go and look for a harlot. Yoke. Bondage. Bondage. Ah, bondage. He wants to be free. He's not enjoying. He wants to be free. So he ran to my friend and said, please help me. To my friend, I said, tell him that his deliverance is not hard. If he builds a house from the operations, he should set it on fire. Park the cars in front of the house, pour petrol on all of them, move back, throw fire into them. When they burn to the ground, the demons will leave him. He doesn't even need prayer. Just say, Lord, I'm tired. Gather everything. First, withdraw the money from the bank so that I don't waste federal government money. That is to buy something so can I put inside the house so you can burn it too. If you waste the currency, it's not good. We are using our currency. Our currency does not have your evil in it. Okay? Okay, do online purchase. Buy the latest 72-inch curved organic OLED TVs. Put them inside. And pour petrol. Then let it burn. When it reaches the ground, you find that the spirits will have left you. One of them says that you see these people doing all sorts of things. They are not enjoying. They're in bondage. They're in bondage. They are bound. They want to be free. Many of the girls, many of the slave queens and young, you know, internet, what they call them, Instagram influencers that young girls are following, they are in bondage. Bondage to show off their body. Oh, you don't see. There is no bad habit that does not have a spirit. I'm serious. It starts as a small bad habit, then it becomes a compulsion. Once it becomes a compulsion, an evil spirit has taken over. I mean, I studied on basic psychology those days as a junior medical student. You know what the world has done now? The world has turned madness into normal things. When I was a young medical student, they taught us about disorders of sexuality, sexual behavior. We learned a lot of disorders. You learn things like, there's what they call exhibitionism. You know exhibitionism, you know what it means? They have to show themselves to somebody and they get gratification from it. And it's a compulsion. Make all the laws you want to make, they will still do it. Some people get their own sexual gratification from pain. Very common amongst white people. Nigerians have not, black people, our own demons are different. White people's demons, very different. They have some funny demons. You see somebody pay somebody to slap him. I'm serious. They call it BDSM. That is summary, that's the short for it. Bondage, dominance, sadomasochism. So remember, where they get sexual pleasure, when you get there, you think it's a torture chamber. You think it's CIA torturing Islamic fundamentalists in Guantanamo Bay. What do you find? Shackles. Roman whips. And the man pays, oh. And the girl will shackle him and beat him. It's demonic. Some people, they get their own from seeing other people suffering. So you see the man drive, very common in a place like America, just kidnap somebody for just, you know, one white man, he lives somewhere in Nigeria. His colleagues at work said that, yeah, you're not going back, I think he's from Europe or from America. He said, no, why should I go back? There is summer all year in Nigeria. That likes Nigeria like that. So he went and imported an Asian wife. So he has an Asian wife. He's, I think, he's an American. He lives in Nigeria, south, around Port Harcourt area. So then I asked him, they said, what about the crime in Nigeria? Ah, he laughed. He said, the crime in Nigeria is economic. He said, what about kidnapping? He said, ah, you pay them, they let you go. He said, in my country, when you are kidnapped, you are dead. He said, the man will kidnap you, and just for the sheer pleasure of it, will be cutting you to pieces. He said, if they kidnap you in Nigeria, it's money. Your wife will wire them 10 million naira. You are free. Then you go out. After a while, I'm adding my own words, I didn't say this. You can negotiate. Say, guys, no need to kidnap. Every end of the month, go and collect your kidnap money. Your ransom money. Your ransom money is over there. Now, what am I talking about? He said, no. He said, that's when you're talking about crime. He's not afraid of Nigerian kidnappers. He said, no. That he says they are economic criminals. They are looking for money. He said, in my own country, no. The guys who commit crimes, they don't need your money. They just shoot you for the fun of it. Saw the one that happened in El Paso a few days ago. A guy drove 400 kilometers thereabout, or 400 miles, from Dallas, all the way to El Paso. Unfortunately, Texas has an open carry law. You can carry your gun openly. So he put his AK-47 on his shoulder and walked into Walmart. And started shooting. And then he had gone down 20 people. Eventually killed about 22. Entered his car, left, police stopped him. He put up his hand. Says, fighting Latino invasion. A man saw them doing party. He carried 12 guns in Las Vegas. Hired a room high above the party area, locked the door, and started shooting into the party place. Killed like 50-something people. He would have killed more, except that when he was going, one guard noticed him. So when his shots rang out and police arrived, he said, no, I remember one funny human being. So they went straight to his room. Otherwise, he had 12 guns there, all loaded. About 20,000 Americans are killed every year by gunfire among citizens. Does not include those who go to rob. Talking about those who just shoot people for the fun of it. America had 2 mass shootings within 24 hours. These are demon-possessed people. They're all over the place. Many of these demonized creatures are on Instagram, teaching young girls how to dress. You think she's showing her breast because of, she doesn't know you, but she doesn't show it, she can't sleep. You think it's fashion? It's not fashion. It's demonic oppression. She wants to sleep. The demon will say, ah, only 25,000 men have seen your breast today. What will happen the rest of the night? Now you're laughing. Do you know what? She can't sleep. She can't sleep. She goes, logs onto her page. How many likes? Only 300 likes. Oh no, she will strip. Pose again. Then she will start sitting down watching the likes. As her patrons all over the world are clicking like, 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 like. Are you a young fellow on campus trying to belong and you're following her, drinking of her spirit? I pray we understand what you are dealing with. It's a crazy world out there. The Bible says the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. It's a crazy world out there. Crazy. Crazy. Crazy people. Demons, these guys, they come, look, they come in all sorts of ways. Look, I know I began this. I believe I ministered to people, but I went on in that time, in that direction, off into that tangent, trying to explain that, listen, let's serve God with the whole heart. I was afraid the man who said that he was not worth it. You know, that's where I began from. And I looked at him and said, what was not worth what? They are delivering you from demonic oppression. He said Christianity was not worth it because you think you are doing God a favor. Because you don't fornicate, you don't commit adultery, you don't steal, you don't cheat. God said, okay, let's do something. I'll give you 48 hours to go and do all of it. See how it will affect me. Yeah. God said, okay, you are doing me a favor. You are doing me a favor. Okay. Go outside. Commit everything, then come back in 48 hours. Let's make a deal ahead of time. You will live with the consequences. I won't forgive you anything. I won't repair any damage. If your brain twists in the process, you shall live with a twisted brain, and I'll make sure you live long. So that people can be pointing at you as an example of how not to behave. I've said the many 419 boys that you are seeing around, all these Yahoo boys, some of them will not die. A lot will die, most will die. By the time they are 30, 40, 35, they'll be gone. But there are a few that God says, no, don't die, you can't die. He will beg for death, God will say, no. How will I teach young boys how not to behave? So, and you will have taken good pictures. MMM Guider. You will have taken all kinds of pictures. And I've stored them for you on the web. They will still be alive 30 years later. And I'll make sure everybody knows this is you and this was you. So when parents in the morning, at morning devotion, they want to show their children how not to behave. He said, do you know Sakpo? Alampo, you know him? He said, daddy, no. Let me show you a picture of him when he was raining 30 years ago. He'll show you with your fine cars and your fine babes and your fine jewelry and your pictures from Lagos, Abuja, Switzerland, Cape Town, you know, Las Vegas, you know, San Antonio, all over the world. And I'll show you now, before and after. He said, daddy, what happened? He said, unrighteousness does not pay. My children, let us pray. In Jesus' name, we reject unrighteousness. Amen. We will not be like Sakpo in Jesus' name. Some criminals will not die so that God can use them to teach the next generation how not to behave. What's God saying? Your righteousness is for your own good. It's not for my good. You are the one being blessed. You are the one being saved. It's your destiny I'm preserving. Let's get back to our message, I beg. Like I said, that's a side trip. Let's get to the real substance for today. We read some scriptures, right? Which one did we read? Psalm 118, yes. And we also read Matthew chapter 7. And then which other one? Okay, yes. Yeah. So I brought out, okay, let's get back to it. So what we are doing is, the matter of building our faith very important. We must build our faith. We must walk in the will of God. We must. God wants to bless us. He wants to manifest himself in us and through us. He wants to do that. But we said that without faith, it is impossible. So how do we build our faith? We deliberately build our lives. That's what we've been saying. It's what? Deliberate. Deliberate. We deliberately build our lives in a number of areas. How we interpret things. What we expect our lives to be like. As part of that, what we expect to have in life. Last time we talked about the fact that we don't take God's word. We don't break into pieces. We walk with God totally. What do I mean by that? It is not as if, let's assume the will of God is like a car. Because you don't know what exactly you're supposed to do initially. Don't remove the windscreen. Don't remove the tires. Drain the fuel. The day you need it to move you from one place to the other, to no longer be working. And that's what's happening a lot of times. People have cannibalized the word of God. They have disintegrated the word of God. It's in pieces. But they now want it to work. It doesn't work. We take the word of God totally. If you go and read Numbers chapter 14, also, I think in Joshua also, the same experience was narrated. Caleb, the Bible says he followed God fully. God said, Caleb followed me fully. That is, he took everything I said and he swallowed it entirely. And the application for us is that the word of God has different aspects. We must follow the word of God fully. We don't break it down into pieces and take the one we like. We follow the word of God fully. When we are following that, building our lives, that's how faith is being built up inside us. Now remember we've talked about that. Precepts, the third thing, that number one, interpretation of life. Number two, what we expect. Number three, the precepts of life that we walk by. And that's what I'm talking about today. And last of all, the words that we speak. Actually, the words we speak will be derived from all these other things. They just are the natural overflows, or the things that are inside our hearts. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's just the valve through which things flow out. So let's talk about that precepts thing. Now, okay, for the rest of the time that we have, okay, most likely I'll be able to do that better next time. Let me just introduce it today, and then we don't have to stay too long. I'll close. Now, Jesus said to us in that Matthew chapter 7, and again, what is in Psalm 118? This life, what makes one person different from the other is the way he lives. That is the precepts upon which his life, her life is built. That is what makes us different from each other in this life. For believers, that is one thing that would distinguish us from the world. If you see what we wrote about Kingdom World Ministries, that what we are doing is to separate the church through the teaching of the precepts of God. That the way believers behave is supposed to be different from the way the world behaves. And what am I saying today? We make sure we learn how we are supposed to live as disciples of Christ Jesus. If we do that, faith is automatically built in our hearts. Let me say something to us quickly. Spiritual things work like this. Many times what you are looking for, what you are aiming for, you get the people who get the thing people are looking for many times are not really directly aiming for them. Do you get my point? I want to start from that point. There's a reason. You'll see what I'm trying to say in a moment. Sometimes when God says behave in a particular way, people will live that way and go after, let's take material possessions as an example. They will go after material possession. Then they will spend a long time, a lot of effort trying to achieve that. Meanwhile, if only they had gone according to the way that God said they should go, they probably will have achieved that even quicker. Let me give an example, which we all know. Solomon. He could have asked for material things, but he did not. He asked for wisdom. Then he got more material things that he had the capacity to ask for. Because if he had asked God for material things, what would he have asked for? Now, God gave him so much that he was tremendously rich, and the whole of Israel under him was very rich. But he did not ask for money. Let's talk about faith. As much as faith is what we are gunning for, that is, we want to have high levels of faith in our hearts. If we focus on faith as a way of getting things out of God, we often don't get anything. Those days we were taught, of course, not as if those who taught us were wrong, just as everything has stages of development. Most of the faith we learned as young children was taught to help us grab something. Do you get my point? Okay. Now, very little faith. I can't remember anybody teaching us faith so as to help us give up something. Now, but the truth is that the most effective faith gives. It doesn't try to collect. The ones that tries to collect usually struggles to collect. So you wake up every morning declaring, I declare this. So we have to learn those difficult things. For example, you want something from God. Yes, where you write your confession every day, you read out the confession, then you paint it on the wall. And occasionally we got some results. But we grew up and realized that that's not how it's supposed to be. What am I going to explain? Please, I'm going to tell this story again to explain this thing properly. I'm trying to bring out one concept here. I'm going to get back to this show of how we walk. But I want to bring out the concept that it's not what you are looking for. Directly focusing on something is not what gets you there quicker. What gets you there quicker is just follow what God has said, even though that thing is not in your sight. And it also works like that with faith also. What am I trying to say? Ruth. That's why I said, listen to the series, The Gospel According to Ruth. If you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, two of them very odd. Rahab. Okay? And then Ruth. Now, why I wanted those two is that both of them were not Jews.
Both of them. You know Rahab, she was a Jerrican. is that my description? Okay. The woman was from Jericho. And she was not one of the fine girls in Jericho. She was a harlot in Jericho. She was not a princess in Jericho. She was a harlot in Jericho. Do you get my point? Now, it's instructive that she was mentioned. But the Bible makes it clear it is by faith. It was her faith that brought her into that line. The same thing with Ruth. Ruth was not a Jew. Ruth was a Moabitess. And if you see the law of God, a Moabite was not allowed in the congregation of the people of God. He couldn't enter the temple up to the 10th generation. She was unclean, technically. As far as Israel was concerned, the Moabite race was unclean. That's what God told them. Now, let's get back to the issue of Ruth again. Please follow this. The Bible says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision profits anything. But what? Faith, which works how? Through love. Please, let me recommend again, even though you have read it before, go and read it again. Great faith can be yours. I wrote that book in 2 weeks, based on this understanding I'm sharing with us again. Please go and read the book again. Great faith can be yours. Why was Ruth's faith, why was it great? This is my conviction. Remember I said something earlier? That faith is a gift of the Spirit. Whichever way you want to look at it, it's a gift of the Spirit. It's God that pushes into you that spirit of faith. If it doesn't give you the spirit of faith, you can't have it. Like I said earlier, why he does is the question we should be asking. So whatever Ruth did, she did it by faith, as a matter of fact. That was what brought her into the lineage of Jesus. And even though she was a Moabitess, she's honored till today. And we're speaking about her. But what I wanted to remember is that Ruth did what she did, not because she understood faith. She did not go to church and they taught her about faith. What happened to Ruth was that she had the love of Naomi in her heart. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, what do you think? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with everything. He said, there's a second one that just like it. Thou shalt do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And if you go and read the book of Galatians, especially in chapter 5, Paul said, walk by the Spirit, all right? And you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, when Paul said that, please let me remind us again. He was not saying, before you make a decision, close your eyes and speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is right, but that was not what Paul was saying. He was not saying, check your spirit. Let's see what your spirit is saying. Shokolo, pulolo, balala, belele, bololo, Toyota. What's my spirit saying? My spirit said, go to the right. So I'm walking by the spirit. That was not what Paul said. What Paul said is that every law has a spirit. The law has a spirit as a body. And I walk by the spirit of the law, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. What Paul called spirit there was love. I'm not guessing, no. I know what I'm telling you. The spirit of the law is love. That's why Jesus said, upon these two commandments, what are the two commandments? Love the Lord with all your heart. Two, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that's all the law and all the prophets, everything. That's where they are. The commandments, that's where you find them. And Paul said, if we walk by the Spirit, let me say it again. When you see the word Spirit in the Bible, please let me go over this again. If you see the word Spirit in the Bible, there are so many uses. I saw a book, an e-book the other day from one particular, well, I do a bit of search when I'm looking for, trying to study some things. So in my search, I stumbled onto a particular church website, downloaded a lot of their books. Okay, I was trying to get my history right, lining up what Daniel prophesied, the two different major prophecies of Daniel with events over time. I wanted to just get my story correct. They really did a good job. I have about two or three of their materials and I'm still reading them. But then I asked something on the Holy Spirit. I decided to read the book. And I laughed. You know why I laughed? They wanted to prove that there's no person called the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, some people believe that. That there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's a power of God called the Holy Spirit. That is not a person. And they took time out and they gave a lot of scriptures. And I felt bad. Why I felt bad was that
You see, where they were making the mistake is that they didn't realize that there was spirit in the Bible. You must always read it in context to know exactly what the writer or the speaker was talking about. Because Jesus made it clear that there is a person called the Holy Spirit. I don't need Paul to tell me. I don't need James to tell me. I don't need it from John. Jesus said it clearly. He said, I am going. I will send another. The word another, Greek is a very precise language. English has another as a simple word. Greek has different words for another. The one he used is another of the same type. For example, if I tell you that I will go home and I'm driving away, say, how will I come? And say, look, let me go and drop this car at home. I will send you another transportation home. In Greek, when I say another, you know whether I'm sending a car or something that's not a car. So if I go home with a car and I say, I'll send you another. If I use the word another of the same kind, you will know I'm sending a car. Do you get my point? So Jesus used the word another to show that he was saying another of the same type. And he always called him he. And he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And if you read a man like G.N. Darby, he will explain clearly to you that the words, the definitive article tied to Holy and Spirit always refers to a person. Now, I'm not going to do that in details. What I'm going to just bring out is that I felt sorry for them because, you see, they took the word Spirit anywhere they found in the Bible and thought that was referring to the Holy Spirit. So, therefore, you will find many places where it could not have been a person. I hope you're getting my point. For example, in Hebrews, it says he makes his ministers spirits. Are you getting my point? That is, he makes them like the wind. The word for spirit is also the same word for wind. Breath is the same word. I hope you're getting my point. Okay? Now, having read the Bible, there are other words that have been used that I found out, especially in the New Testament. Love is also used. Spirit is also used to describe love. Whatever is pushing your motive, whatever you are doing, your motivation is also called spirit. So you have to read it in context to know exactly what is being spoken about. And I'm going to talk about it as we go on. Time will not allow me today. That we must learn to watch our spirits. We must learn to watch our spirits. Okay? Now, so, when Paul was now speaking there, and he said, walk by the spirit. We thought, over time, people assumed that he was talking about, check your inside your spirit. Inside your spirit. No. What Paul said, what is the spirit of the law? The spirit of the law is love. So he said, walk in love. So you see the word walk in love dotted all over Paul's writings, John's writings, Peter's writings, even James. All of them emphasized it. And exactly the same thing they were teaching. So when Paul said, walk by the spirit, in that context, he was saying, make sure love is a deciding factor for everything that you are doing. When Ruth was going to make her decision. You know why Ruth made her decision? Love for Naomi. The Bible says, prefer one another in love. Is that not what he said? What was Naomi doing? Naomi was trying to explain to her why she should take care of herself as an individual. That is, Ruth, take care of yourself. All part agreed and gone. He said, Ruth, take care of yourself. But Ruth's idea was that I'm younger. You need more care than I need. I will handle my future later after I've settled you. So that love for her was so strong. Listen to me. It built faith in her heart. Even though she was not deliberately trying to have faith. I hope you're getting my point. It built faith in her. What am I going to introduce? We'll continue next time. Listen, people of God. If you will commit yourself to what they call the love of God, faith will be built in your heart automatically. You say, what is the love of God? Of course, two of the love of man is also part of it, but it's secondary. All right? It's the second. The first is love for God. All right? And what I want to bring out is that, because what I want to go into now is to show that as believers, we must be committed to walking according to the precepts of God. Not trying to build faith to get something from him. A commitment to the precepts of God. That will cause faith to be built automatically into our hearts. Very, very important what I'm going to say here. Now, you know what we read just now, Psalm 118? It said, anything you want to do in life, Jesus also quoted it. He said, David said, I am down. Psalm 118. Where we read just now. He said, I'm down. I need to get out of where I am. That is the down place where I am. I need to be lifted from the low position into a high one. He said, there are different ways by which a man, a woman can be lifted. And those ways for lifting is called gates. I hope you're getting my point. In answer, of all the gates you will find in life, some or one of them, in fact, actually in every situation, one of them is a gate of God. Let me go over that again. If I want to be promoted in life, many opportunities will be given to me to achieve promotion. Many methods will be taught to me by which I might achieve promotion. He said, when I scan all of them, what I must do as a believer is to look for the one that God is saying through different ways. One, basically, because it is the right one that is devoid of iniquity. Let me give an example. He said in Psalm 45, because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, like in Jesus say wickedness. He said, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. You know, many years ago, you've heard me use this illustration before, but it's so perfect, I have to use it again. When there were so many small banks in Nigeria, before a lot of them collapsed, and they became very few, and then Charles Oludo came and said, look, if you are too small, you can't be a bank, and they became even fewer. But those early days when there were a lot of banks, I had a discussion with friends, but I didn't like what the young, of course, the bankers were generally my age that time, okay? Young bankers, they were generally my age. And I thought they were the most undependable human beings I ever saw. I know what they said. So one day I picked up one of them. He said it's the quickest way to be promoted. Ah. Because literally what the banks used to do is that they always, because they were many and they wanted experienced staff, so they used to poach from each other. So if, for example, now let's use banks that still exist till today. So take a bit like maybe GT Bank, First Bank, Zenith, Access Bank. Give me another one. UBA. Okay, so if UBA wants to poach from, let's say, oh, you are leaving GT Bank, you are going to UBA. UBA will give you a rank above what you were, where you're coming from. So now, most of those banks were small, not like big banks like UBA and First Bank and GT Bank and Zenith of these days. They were very small banks. So to build up the strength of their staff, what they did was to quickly, they preferred people that had been trained by the bigger banks. Okay, so you've been trained, you have experience. So they always will give you more money and at least a rank above where you're coming from. So, for example, if you're an assistant manager, they made you what they call a deputy manager. Okay? And if you're a deputy manager, the next bank you're going to, you're a manager. And if you're a manager in one bank, next one you're going to, you're a senior manager. So this is what used to happen. A man gets a job, let's use one of the banks of today, First Bank. He gets a job in First Bank. He can return to First Bank again in 5 years' time. And it'll be two positions ahead of people he came in together with. Because he left First Bank after a year, went to Zenith. Zenith made him maybe second level of officer. Then from there he left, he became assistant manager. He went to another bank. Then by the time he wants to negotiate, of course, usually it's not with the big bank. Because those ones don't take that. At that level, they don't. By the time he gets to another bank, okay, he gets to another bank. You see, in a few years, he's a manager. But if he has stayed in that same bank, he probably would have just moved like one position in about or two maximum in 5 years that's been there. But he can move within 5 years to becoming manager from just being a banking officer. Jumping like four levels. That was what they used to do. So I was wondering, how do you live like this? So I picked up a discussion with my guys. I said, this is not right. They said, no, that's the quickest way to rise. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm not talking about whether you are rising or you are falling. I'm talking about what is right for a human being to do. Do you know, I couldn't get one person to agree with me. He said, that's how the system works. That's how you place the system. I said, excuse me. You go to a place, they train you, expecting you to work with them for some time. Then you leave because somebody, I said, don't you know what they call unfaithfulness? Now, what I'm talking about, all right, is the fact that people said, this is the way to move forward. There's a quick way to move forward. And I said, you are not getting my point. I'm saying, can you live like this as a human being? I didn't know that. No, my problem was that I had church mind. Like we say. I said, no, things are not done. Let me tell you something about Christianity. Let me say it again. You know, I said to us before, Christianity is radical. Christianity is radical. There are times you just don't do some things because you just can't do it, just not your nature. Even though you are losing. Do you get my point? Your friends will move and say, are you not moving? Say, guys, I can't. Why? Oh boy. Were you not there when they sent us for training the other day? How much do you think they spent? How long have we been here? No, please, I have a conscience. That's how you will sit down there and life will pass you by. But at least God will not pass me by. See, let me say something again. When people say they are led by the Spirit, I'm sorry, you know, there are people who have, you know, I have my own name everywhere. People describe me different ways. People have described me that Pastor Banky does not believe in hearing the voice of the Spirit. Yes, I don't. Because most of the time it's lie, you are lying. What I say is that when the Spirit wants to talk to you, he will talk to you. It's not as if you'll be tuning your ear. Balaam heard God and he was wrong. I hope you're getting my point. I'm not saying the Spirit does not speak to people. I'm saying this one is going to kneel down and the Spirit speaks to you. Get up from there, my friend, go and walk. There's no need. When the Spirit wants to talk, he knows how to talk. He said, I should marry him. I want to pray until the Holy Spirit tells me whether to marry him or not to marry him. Oh, girl, please, forget that thing. Pray and say, God, he wants to marry me. Help me to know whether I like him or I don't like him. Just pray like that. And then sit down and discuss with your friends and discuss with yourself and pray for wisdom. Then look the guy. If you like him, marry him. If you don't like him, forget it. Pastor Banky, you are not spiritual. The spiritual person is not the person who hears voices. It's a person who reasons with the word of God. Please, let me say it again. Balaam heard God clearly. He said, go. Then the Bible says, as soon as Balaam got up to leave, God was angry that he was going. And God is not from Canada. They don't grow weed in his flower pot. That's what I mean. The last time I told you about the man I met on the plane, who showed me flowers in his house, and he said to me, he was sitting beside me on the plane, said, do you recognize this? I looked at his phone, looked at him like, boys, that's weed. So that's cannabis. He smiled and said, yes. That it grows in his flower bed. Why? He said, it's legal, you know. I said, no, it's legal in your country. In my country, you go to a prison. The Lord is good. Now, and God does not smoke. Yet, after telling Balaam, go, he was angry that Balaam was going. Why? Because what you hear is not necessarily the will of God. What you hear is what you want to hear and what you can hear. That's why it does not impress me. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to people. He does. I'm just saying don't worry about it. He knows how to speak when he wants to speak. And many times he doesn't want to talk. Anytime he doesn't talk, you know what he's saying? I have taught you enough to make a rational decision. And your rational decision, according to the instructions I've given you, is my will. Go and follow that. Nobody, listen, Balaam had God's direct phone number. He called God. They said I should go. Should I go? God said, well, if they say you should go, follow them. And he said, oh, correct, sir. You get your tithe when I come back. I added that one to it. But the Bible says clearly, let's read it. See, because someone I quote this in Numbers chapter 22. For time's sake, I'll just quickly get down to verse 20. Okay, let's start from verse 19. This was the second time they came. Now, please, you also stay here tonight because they had come before. That's why this also is coming up. And I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me. In verse 20, God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do. So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. But God was angry because he was going. Let's stop reading there. Who said he should go? The same God was not angry that he was going. Let me make a long story short again. Why did God say Balaam should go? Because Balaam wanted to go. His spirit does not always contend with man. When you get down to pray, forget all of these things, brethren. It is what you are willing to do. I've heard of men who said that God told them to divorce their wives and marry somebody else in the church. And there's no argument you want to give. They are sure God spoke to them. Before I used to say God didn't speak to them, it's now I know that God did. No, it's now I know. And that is the story of one man that the whole church scattered because of marriage. When they asked him, sir, why is church? He said, this is a woman God said I should marry. But everybody in church said, no, but this is not right now. It does not follow the instructions. You are a teacher of the word. The things you have taught us, this does not fit it. He said, well, you people can say what you want to say, but God said. So please, if you are hearing, so that's why people think, people say that Pastor Mark does not believe in hearing God. It's not so. I've been led dramatically, supernaturally, many ways before. I don't want to start boring you with stories. But now, I even look back and I start doubting that leading. Not because I'm not sure of what I, in quote, heard, because now I realize that God only spoke according to what I could bear. I gave you an example the other day that the day I got a job within 24 hours of asking for it, years later I looked back. I was now wondering, that did God want me to have that job? Or I was too impatient. But he realized that, look, banking can't handle more than this. So he said, okay, give him a job that he's asking for. It's possible. So I will not use that testimony to harass anybody. That I just get to your knees and say, God! And within 24 hours, God will do something. Sometimes God will say, I know if I don't do something 24 hours, you will die within 24 hours. So I only did something to prevent you from dying. So don't go and harass my children with your funny doctrines. With your funny doctrine. I have not had a job for months. But that was a period in which daily I was being fed with the word. I have given the testimony many times. 500 hours thereabout, I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone in 8 months. Not counting the other ministers. I read books. I prayed. I went for meetings. You hear me tell the story of Ron Kenoly. Ron Kenoly was teaching, you know, we went to Victory Christian Center, half of the Lopotefe. And he organized a massive program. And during the morning sessions, we have the minister's meetings. And I was in a class being taught by Ron Kenoly. So when I tell you Ron Kenoly's story, I heard it from his mouth directly. He was sitting in front of me, just a few seats in front of me like this. It was those days that I'll be going around in Lagos. And I'll stop. I see a poster. And I will copy the address. And I will go back to the house and tell the people in the house, please, how do I get here? It was just that period. Listen to the word of God all the time. Then one day I got tired. I said, God, I needed a job. And he gave me by the next day. I look back and I said, maybe he didn't want to. Maybe he just knew that this guy cannot endure more than these 7 months of joblessness. Or 8 months. But if he was able to endure it, I would have left him for a whole year and fed him with the word some more. Maybe, I don't know. But the job he gave me, it was only nights. During the day, I was still free. You know why? Because he was preparing me to be a teacher of the word. That was my postgraduate studies in Bible. My undergraduate was when I was in university. I hope you're getting my point here. So when we're talking about, you know, somebody hear God, that's what I'm trying to say. Listen, it's when you get the spirit right, we'll know whether what you are hearing is right or what you are hearing is not right. That's what I'm trying to explain. So back to what I'm trying to say. So young men will be making decisions and someone will say, it's God that told them to do it like that. And I say, no, now, this is not the gate of God. God cannot be promoting you. And all the testimonies of the promotion is riddled with one trait. Lack of being dependent. That you're unfaithful, you're unreliable. and you say it's God that's promoting you, say no, it's not God. It doesn't mean you were not promoted. That's where I went to that from. That's why I said nobody should come and harass me with God said. Yes, there are situations in which God speaks to people. And there's a way you will talk to me, and I will know that God has to talk to you. That must have been the voice of God. Most times people tell me, God said, I just put it to the side. I said, look, Balaam heard God. We don't know what he heard. Let's leave that in. Open to me the gates. That's what I'm talking about. We must deliberately say, whatever I'm doing in life, I follow the gate of God. The gate of God does not always look nice. Many times it leads you to apparent physical loss. Many times, listen, our primary assignment in life as believers is just, let me just be pleasing to God. That's all. I don't want to get money. I don't want to get fame. I don't want to get anything. I just want to be pleasing to God. Like one man said, and that, to me, it was such just a beautiful thing. He said that they talk about mansion in heaven, crown in heaven, throne in heaven. He said, maybe they are true. He said, but it doesn't bother me. What I want is that well done, good and faithful servant. He said, if after that, he says, I should sit on a tree. He said, I'm fine. Crown of glory is not bad though. Garment of this is good. Throne, fine. He said, but what am I gunning for? I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Sometimes to hear those words, you will lose money. Sometimes to hear those words, your mates will be promoted, you will not be promoted. Many times to hear that word, you will lose a lot of material things. That's why I ask Christians, when we talk about spirit, that's what we call spirit. He said, let this mind, or spirit, actually we apply it there, be in you that was in Christ. That is, what are you gunning for? Let me drop it for you again today. It must be that in everything I do, it is pleasing to God. One of the things I learned those days when I have to make decisions is this. Listen, anything I want to do here, it used to scare me that God will say, but I told you. You know that one, I find this scary. I said, Banky, why did you go like this? And I said, this, and he said, but I told you. See, before you start listening for the voice of the Spirit, first use your spiritual reasoning and make sure that you really are at a jam. You know what they call jam? That you don't know whether to go left or right. Until you have exhausted your ability to reason, that is, until you have exhausted all the knowledge you have in reasoning, you are not going to hear any voice from the Spirit, and it will be correct. What am I going to say? Let me give a simple example. This marriage, a man comes and says, marry me. And you're a woman. There are some fundamental things. Is he a Christian? He goes to a particular, no, I didn't say, ask yourself, is this guy a true believer? If the answer is no, you are a sinner if you bring it up to God in prayer. Because don't talk to me about it. I don't want it discussed. I will give you enough information to know that he's not a Christian. His sister traveled once to come and speak with me. Somebody I know, one way or the other, so it was okay for her to come. She just asked, look, can I come? I said, no problem, come. When she finished talking to me, I had to do this in marriage matter. What do I do? That one, you know, the other time I say, go and pray, whatever God says to you. I always say, look, listen, that's when I don't know what to say to you. There are times I know what to say to you, and I say, thus says the Lord through me to you. I will tell you. But I finish describing the guy up and down. And there's one thing I find a lot of women always fall for. His mother really likes me. I've heard that a lot of times. And in my mind, why does he impress you? Is that not proof that you're a good girl? I've heard it. It's playing back in my head now. Here, there. I've heard it many times. One day, one of our sisters used to be here. She said, his mother really likes me. I said, okay, don't be silly. Who will see you and not like you? I said, me as I did here, so I like you. Okay, Mute, he likes you. Israel, he likes you. I called all the women. I said, we all like you. So if a woman somewhere likes you, it's just that you'll be a good wife for this useless son that she has. Even the mothers of armed robbers want a good wife.
Yes.
Mother really likes me.
When the sister finished talking to me that day, I looked at her. She now made a simple statement. Said he smokes. I said, what did you say? He said, I don't mean cigarette. Oh. I said, what? Igbo. I said, what did you say? I said, number one. Listen, please understand what I'm about to say. I'm not one of those who believe that if you smoke, you'll go to hell. No, I don't believe it. There's nothing like that in the Bible, right?
Yes,
good. I said, but in Nigeria, Christians don't smoke. That was my first point. And number two, you are now using wee-wee on top. I said, okay, he will not change. His mother wants you to marry him because he wants to stabilize his life. Do you look like crutches to you? I hope you're getting my point. Or do you look like this orthopedic people used to, when person don't break him back, they will put it and screw it, plate and screw. I said, no, no, no. You are not P.O.P.O. So the sister, my dear, thank you for coming. On God's behalf, I hereby declare, no. Hey, my this guy. And let me add new words. And don't pray about him again. Just go home. God has answered you today. I said, we have enough understanding to know this guy is a no-go area. So young lady, a man comes to you. She wants to marry. He wants to marry. And God just reveals to you that he's not a believer. Please don't go and pray about it too. You will hear evil spirits though. I'm telling you, you will hear evil spirits. So I'll give you another example. You are broke. You are flat broke. You have prayed in the name of Jesus. Father, please send me money. Then someone now comes to you and says, please, come and pretend to be this so and so person. In our office, they are sharing money. This other man has resigned. So you will come and sign that he's the one. The money is 80,000 naira. We'll give you 30. Just come. We'll forge one ID card for you. No problem. Just sign up. And how much will I get? 30,000. And this is exactly what you asked God for yesterday. This is what you will make as a mistake as a believer. You now go and ask God, is this you or it is not you? God will say, are you all right? This is what they call temptation now. It is when you are in need that they will tell you, turn your stones to bread. It's not a testimony. It is the gate of unrighteousness. And I've allowed that to come as a test for you to see whether you'll be established. Listen, in life, God is always trying to establish us. And what he does is to give us the opportunity to deliberately choose to do what is right and refuse that which is evil. That's how we are established. That is how we are established. That is how we are established. Even though 30,000 naira was what you prayed for, even though these people are offering you 30,000 naira, it's a gate of unrighteousness. You're about to go there, be a false witness. You're going to go there and lie. You're going to go there and sign that you are somebody that you are not. And this is a deed of darkness because you cannot come to the pulpit and testify about it. God says, therefore, you don't need to pray. Don't do it. Even if I don't come through, die in hunger. Leave it like that. That is what we mean when we're talking about building deliberately on the precepts of God and walking. Now, I'm trying to explain the principle of walking through what? The gates of righteousness. How you know is God has opened the door, is that the door will be right. Listen, God anointed David king. There was no doubt about it. At that point in time, Saul was a usurper. Saul was no longer the king. David was the king. I have a conviction. The other day, I read the story that, look, Samuel must have composed the book of Judges. All right? You know, if you check your Bible, who wrote Judges? It was Samuel. Samuel wrote Judges. First Samuel. Okay? Now, why did he write Judges? To explain the legitimacy of the throne of David. It was to prepare the people to receive David. Okay? Now, Samuel was instructed by God. So I have this conviction. Samuel used to instruct David on what was right to do and what was wrong to do. And one of the instructions Samuel must have given him, or some of the wise men around that we don't know their names, must have taught David is, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Because how did David know you're not supposed to? I hope you're getting my point here. So this man had been instructed by priests on how to do things. So God began to give him the opportunity. Two good times gave him the opportunity. It was so clear it was God. In quotes. Because this man is not the wrong king. Number two, you are the rightful king now. Number three is after you. So principle of warfare alone allowed you to kill him. It's called self-defense. The man is after my life. I hope you're getting my point here. But David said, no, I will have entered the throne that way through the gates of unrighteousness. Now, listen, it is not the throne that's the issue. It's how you got there. Because it's that mistake we make a lot of times, okay? We make that mistake. God said I should enter that throne. That is only half of the story. The second half is how. And that how is more important to him than any other thing. That how is more important to him. As you go on in life, let me end it here. God, because it's not only in great and marvelous things like that, in little things of life, it happens. The other day, I told in my office I had an issue. I had taken some decisions, drastic. And people were on my side, some guys were on my side. The first they wanted to execute the decision that I had taken. I told them, forget it. They said, why? I said, because I just realized I'm fighting my own battle. And the Lord does not want me to fight my own battle. I said, leave the matter. It was painful. I said, well, leave it. Let's trust God to take care of the thing. That is, everybody was going to be on my side. But the Spirit just said to me, in effect, now this is what they talk about, Spirit speaking. Are you getting my point? It's based on the word of God. You want to start fighting your own battles. People are looking for instructions. Let me tell you the first thing God is teaching us in life. He said, who is it that fears the Lord? Who he will do what? Instruct or teach in the way that he should choose. It's a systematic thing, not command. Many of us who want to hear the Spirit want to hear, go, don't go. No, God lays principles on your heart so that you can make spiritual decisions. It's when decisions are right, according to the instructions of the word, that you are walking in the Spirit, not when you are hearing voices. Will you ever agree if I told that Balaam was walking in the Spirit? Of course you wouldn't agree. Why? Because the Bible says he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the wages of divination. He was a man who turned the stones to bread. They used to pay Balaam when people are fighting. He prophesied against whoever didn't have money to pay. No, is it not clear? I mean, if Moab was going after Ammon, you understand? The Ammonites fighting the Moabites. And Israel was not involved. You think God would be saying, go, don't go? Balaam will just go there and say, how much should I bring? It's okay. Let me go and ask God how I should prophesy. I don't have time to explain it. Balaam was a juju man. He was a juju man. Pay him, he did his job. Just like when he now jammed the people of Israel, story can't change. He went again. God said, if I hear, we, you will hear, we. So he was not the man of the Spirit. That's what I'm going to say. Even though he was seeing spiritual things clearly, even though he was hearing the voice of the Spirit, but he was not the man of the Spirit. I like to talk about the power of Balaam. Balaam was a powerful man. We used to laugh those days. That how can a man, that when the donkey started talking, Balaam should have run at that point in time. I say it's because you don't know who Balaam was. You think he's like you. You've never heard an animal talk before. So if animal starts talking, you will run. Balaam used to talk to animals. It was not a strange thing. He used to call birds. They say somebody stole something. He will look around. He will look up. He will see an eagle. He will call the eagle to come. You were there. Who took it? The eagle will say, I know his house. And I'm not kidding about it. And Balaam will follow. And say, follow that eagle. Take it to where the stuff is. That's what Balaam was. Oh, you think Balaam was something else. So when the donkey was talking, it wasn't strange. So what are you saying? Have you ever done like this before? If you try again, I slap you. The rest of it, he's talking to an animal. The guy used to talk to cricket. You think I'm joking? Balaam will call locust. Yeah, locust. Call your army, they will arrive. Destroy that farm.
when Moab, when Balak sent people to come and pay him to come and help fight the battle, they were not joking. But was he a spiritual man? No. His decisions were not based on knowing the will of God. His decisions were not based on following the precepts of God in his own life. I'll continue from this point. Let's end it here. Because I want to explain again that Ruth, love propels her. I'm explaining again that righteousness must propel us in every decision we are making. When we do these things, faith, that righteousness is the love of God. When we do these things, faith will build in our hearts automatically. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or I like their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those three men, they could not afford to disobey God. They said, how do we do this and sin against God? And that was why God gave them the faith to face Nebuchadnezzar. That's what he did. That's what he did. It's not like we say, with ordinary eye, they will put you in front of the furnace. You say, I will not bow. No, something else must have entered you. Because if they use ordinary candle to burn your nostrils, you will bow. I told you that the story Pastor Corey told us, and I told us last time, the story Pastor Corey told us. When God said to the girl, I will take care of your father. Yeah, this man was killed by Islamic fundamentalists in his own house, a Christian in northern Nigeria. Huh? What do you mean I will take care of your father? Later on, I don't know whether the girl understood or those of us who heard the story understood that for you to stand, they didn't cut his head off all of a sudden. They cut him slowly. They cut him slowly. Do you get my point? Slowly, giving him time to change his mind. They made sure his wife and his children were watching. They cut him slowly. That you will stop this pain, just deny this Jesus. Listen, that was what God meant when he told the girl, don't worry, I will take care of your father. So his spirit possessed the man. No matter what he did, he was unflinching. If they had shot him, it's a different story. If they had beheaded him, it was it? No. They cut him slowly until they cut off the head. So God said, don't worry, I will take care of him. That is, I will pour his spirit inside him. Even if he wanted to deny me, it would be too late. He won't be able to. And he stood there, and his testimony stood. And like I said last time, and he poured his spirit. That's my own understanding of it. Those guys will not sleep again. They've just murdered sleep. No, that's the end of it. The only day they will sleep is when they give their lives to Christ. And you now discover that that man's life will beget more. That is, this time around, virulent Christians, not burukutu drinking ones. Let's bow down our heads and say, Father, thank you for truth. Let's say, Father, thank you for truth. Thank you for liberating truth. Thank you for freedom.
Just thank him. Thank him. Open your mouth and bless the name of the Lord. That today you are a Christian. Today you are a child of God. Today you have an appreciation for the word of God. Today your attention is on the word of God. Today you love the word of God. Today the word of God is important to you. Just open your mouth and bless the Lord. Say, Father, I bless you. For your word dwells in me. Your word dwells in me. Your word dwells in me. Your word stimulates righteousness within me. Say, Father, I thank you because I enter through the gate of righteousness. Thank you for the appreciation of truth that is in your word, that is in my life. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you that I am not lost. Say, Father, I thank you for the revelation of your word. I thank you for truth. I thank you for the life of God. Father, I thank you that the life of God is in me. Thank you, Father, for divine understanding, for the revelation of truth. Thank you for light. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for light. Father, we thank you for the light. Thank you, Lord, for the light. Thank you, Lord, for light. Father, we thank you for light. I enter through the gate of righteousness. Say, Father, I receive understanding. And I enter through the gate of righteousness. Today, Lord, I receive understanding and I enter through the gate of righteousness. I enter through the gate of righteousness. I enter through the gate of righteousness. I do not love my life unto death. Father, you are above and above all. I hold on to you. I do not love my life unto death. I follow through the gates of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, I follow through the gates of righteousness. I enter through the gates of righteousness. I enter through the gates of righteousness. Your truth will prevail in my life. In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, your truth will prevail in my life. Your truth will prevail in my life. Have your way within me. Say, Lord, your truth prevails in my life. And I enter through the gates of righteousness. I enter through the gates of righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the revelation of truth. We thank you for your word that has come forth. Let the spirit of today's word, let it possess me. Say, Lord, let the spirit of your word that has come forth today, let it possess me. Let it enter me. Let it manifest in every area of my life. Let it manifest in my family. Let it manifest in every decision that I will take. Let your revelation continually abide with me. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.